Okay, you explained to me earlier how you get the last name Carmen. Can you say it?
Let me see how it is. I'm not too sure of that either. By golly, I don't remember for sure how it started, but I forgot how it started even.
Your dad's Eskimo name?
Yeah, my dad's is Kamana, but they had trouble spelling it, so they made it short and made Carmen out of it. So they could, you know, when they were going to write all the names down. I guess all the families were getting named that time. And they had to have some kind of name they could spell pretty easy. And grandma's in the later years, she, when the schools were around here, she was known as Carmen to Grandma Carmen. That's my dad's name, though. I even forgot for sure what her first husband's name was.
Stulikpak,
I think, yeah. He's buried over at Chores, you know, with some big quail bones sticking up over there. As he's the one, he used to travel all along around the coast collecting from people. They're scared of him, so they always give him something. Foxes, wolves, whatever. And one time there, I guess he got to a village, and there was an escort in that village, so they weren't too scared. They decided all the people would start bringing fox skins and otters and wolverines, everything, and start loading his kayak. And he was sitting inside of it, I mean, you know, ready to go. So they start pushing skins on the, around him so he couldn't get out. And he's a Angaskok too, the grandpa was, but there was two other Angaskoks in that village, but they weren't very strong, but they could keep grandpa from seeing what they were doing, you know, without looking at them. And so one of them Angaskoks, they finally grabbed a bunch of skins, covered his spear, and when he got to the boat, instead of putting skins around him, he speared him, killed him from behind. That's how he got killed. His people got tired of paying him to live in their villages. So about that time, let me see how it happened. Oh, Grandma was living down at Wales, then Papa and my aunt, Alice. So every year when them whaling ships come up, she was fur sewing on them, one of them boats. So they knew which boat it was. Every time they recognized that boat coming in, they'd go out and get on it. Go up whaling trip, and when the boat starts off, they'd get off and whale. But about that time, Grandpa, I guess, after he got killed, and see, I don't know how it happened either, but she got married to a Siberian over there, moved over to Siberia. And I didn't know how many years, sounded like it was 2-3 years, and they couldn't stand it over there. They couldn't get along, or I don't know, they couldn't get used to the way they live. So they decided they were going to go back to Alaska. And that husband of hers in Siberia was so strict. He'd only get enough food each morning to last for that one day. And when they go out hunting, or when he has to go someplace, the warehouse was locked all the time. They couldn't get any other food. So she started holding out the little dried meat and dried fish, something that won't spoil. Save just a little piece at a time, and finally they got enough in some kind of bag, waterproof bag, I guess. And they, about the time them whaling ships should start coming through, she stole a kayak over there and put Papa and Alice in the kayak, and she took off out and to get on the ice where the boats were going by. So they hide around in them icebergs. It was, I don't know, they had enough dry meat, dry fish and sea oil, I guess, and whatever, until they recognized that one boat. So they, that boat was coming, they went in front of it, and somehow they let them know who they were. Right away they got the family on board. She's the one that used to fur sew in that boat. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many trips. So they went whaling up north again, and on their way back south they got off in Alaska instead of Siberia. So that's how they got back to Alaska.
You could have been a Siberian.
Yeah.
Russian.
Hey. Yeah, we saw our relatives over there, gnomes. They come from Siberia one summer.
Uh-huh.
Three men, uh-huh, I should say. One of them was pretty young, though. He was the school teacher, the youngest one. Oldest one, he could only talk Siberian. He couldn't talk Alaska Eskimo. But the middle brother, he could talk Alaskan language, King Island and Diomede. Mm-hmm. Those languages. But he'd been in Alaska before. But the other two, they never even understand Alaskan Eskimo.
He sure used to talk. Oh, you don't know his dad.
Mm-hmm.
He talked like Margaret. He used to talk like that in the
down Wales area.
Uh-huh.
Him and Alfred can speak that language, but he can speak his mom's too.
How about schools? Was there... I kind of hear a couple of things, like a public school for natives and a BIA.
BIA is for the natives.
Oh.
But the territorial school was just for white people and half-breeds. BIA, Indian Affairs, that part, that was native school. And that old building over there, right next to Martin's, that old black building, between Alice's and Martin's, that's the old territorial school.
They call it Rebecca's house. Alice always called it Rebecca's house.
Well, Edward Barr bought it, and
Paul Jones
got it some way.
Even Canada, they had two schools. We went to that native.
And the first churches, who came in as first pastors or?
Oh, I didn't know there was a French church. Yeah, Lep Local, and there's Miss Honeycutt. She was here, I don't know how many years. And let me see, there was others too that used to come here and stay.
But then, one of the wives must have taught English school, one of the pastors.
Then Miss Stratton, she showed up. That's when they built this old church here.
What year was this one that's standing up now?
Well, that's the one, old George Moto. He's the one that's foreman when they built that old church. I was just old enough to remember what they were doing. Then they built her a house over there where Greg's.
No,
it's further down from Pauline Bar. Well, it's this side of Greg's then. She had a house there. The village built it. When she left here, Ferguson's claimed it. They said she sold it to them, and it don't belong to her. Belongs to the church. Belongs to the village. There were lots of foxes those years, and you'd donate one fox, maybe two, three foxes, and everything was paid for all the time. And lots of fields, lots of time. The church always had seals, frozen seals, lots of dried salmon. You know, people, they put in. So when you got visitors from other villages like Costa Buena or someplace that come for meetings or church get together, they always had dog feed and always plenty to eat.
Even the pastors used to have it.
I don't know that. guess that's the way it all goes that way anyhow. And one part I remember when they were taking the people away from here, one of the, I don't know what he was, some kind of minister or some church outfit, he told people during Sanskrit was going to sink someday. Everybody better move. They moved to Nervik. And them days, this place was just a graveyard, this whole Sanskrit. And the villages were up along the river mostly. Came way over to Kugluk, there's some at Tomcod Point, and some along the islands, all over there.
Across the river?
Yeah, across the river is where the main part of the village was. Where Suptok used to be over there. When we went sailing over there last summer, we walked over there looking to all that sand covered up everything. Well, you can't even tell where Suptok's old house was. Nothing over there to mark it.
Their water supply, it still runs over there.
Oh yeah, that and it's still rainwater. But there must be a spring up there ahead of it. I never been up that creek.
Even over with a pipe, if that still runs.
Because it used to be long way from the water up the up to the there's a long way to pack water to the boat. So they had pipes to run the water from there down.
So there was different sites other than where we are now?
Yeah, this never used to be the village.
Except over there?
Yeah, further.
Where the Kargi is? Where the Kargi is?
Right close to the lake there, where the lake used to be.
And
there's old
2 miles, there's great big.
Yeah, up along there. Same way over Kugluk, that's the way it is over there.
Full of mud. We tried to go dig up there one time. They're full of mud. You know that flood coming down. Just covered them.
Filled up. I think them old timers, they used to just dig a hole and put a roof over it to make their sleeping igloos live in them in the winter time. Summertime they live in tents.
There was tents.
Well, they make their seal skin and caribou skin at that time.
But there used to be canvas long ago when my grandma's mother died, Kakisinyorik. Maybe from those boats, maybe they always give them canvas.
Them sails, yeah.
Seals. Some of this side of Cape Espenberg, my grandma was alone. Her mom, and she died. She told her, you wrap me up in canvas, and you just drag me between those bingo. She did. Maybe the rest were hunting or something. So she dragged her back there, and next time they go down there, they look for it so they could cover her more. Everything was just sand.
Sand blows around just like snow. Hey. You have sandstorms instead of snowstorms.
It must have been closer this way than where Guilford Bar and Lynn used to live. Because Sam Bar says she knows that place. Helen Kaguna knows the Eskimo name for that place where our great grandma is. He said it in Eskimo. He say he know that place. Even Hannah remember the name, but I can't. That old school used to be over there where them guys, I mean church, used to be long ago.
Yeah, old Moyer, he built it when he was teaching at Matt Lieb's brother-in-law. Mary Moyer, Tony Jewell was married to one of the sisters, Annie. Matt Lieb was younger than those women, Mary Moyer and Annie Jewell, Matt Lieb. I don't know.
They must have been half-breeds.
Yeah, they're half-breeds. All of them were half-breed Germans. And their mother and her oldest son, before she got married, I guess, came here when Tony Jewell and Annie were teachers. They come one winter to visit and stayed quite a bit towards spring. Stayed, I don't know, a month, maybe longer.
It must have been Sally Mulder's time when they had Tumal Village up there. Maybe say she told her daughter Nova, what did you say? I was thinking of it a while ago. Kaglu. They called that one mango Kaglu, where they put their boats up and tie them. They call it Kaglu, and they walked just 2 miles up to 2 Mile Village. Sally was telling her they used to walk this with no road. Maybe they had shortcuts.
The horse team used to cross over there, straight back from where that warm-up track is. And there's an old bridge right there. Not anymore, but it goes to the end of the airport, where the airport is now. That used to be the horse team trail.
Horse team trail?
They come over there, go up. And they go up the river. When Papa first started driving horses, he said when they left here and got up to Utica, they crossed the river 17 times.
Wow.
They followed the river, you know, kind of straight, just cut across it. Where them gravel is, so they could work on a, in between the roads. He driving horses all the time I could remember. Kudu.
Buggy days.
Them were real teamsters, not like them unions anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah, everybody always brag about being in the Teamsters Union. They're the ones that drove horses. They're real teamsters. Raymond and Hall used to drive horses. Papa, Puda was the head man below the owners. Frank Knapp, he was
What's
he owned
them. Tiedemann's first husband.
Huh?
Ina Tiedemann's first husband.
Oh, gee, was yeah.
Horseman,
yeah, there was people up Kugluk someplace. I didn't know where it was. Maybe Henry Coffin's. One spring they had some kind of telegraph from Nome. So this, I just know his Eskimo name, Aviwuluk. I don't know his English name either. They let him have a horse, so he rode horses before, I guess. Hmm? That's Frank Knapp's horse. So he took that letter up, and he was coming home. I guess from Skookum, when he come down the hill, he was going to cross the river. I guess he must have forgot that when the horses go in the water, he got to stay on the side because they all snapped their heads back. And that horse's head hit him on the head, kind of crushed it with the back of his head. Crushed his forehead, and when he fell off, he drowned.
Mommy and Daddy used to talk about you. Mm-hmm. And Grandma say that mountain used to be the mountain, right? It used to have light up there on top.
A rock up there.
Well, the people used to hunt, the men used to hunt way up there, and when it get dark, they just look at that light and they used to go right straight to Kubuk.
That must be aluminum, luminous rock or something, you know, shining in the night. Uh-huh. When we were seal hunting out there, I think about that rock, look, I never see it. Stay out there at night, and we'd look for it. Never see it.
I always look too.
It must be covered up. But it's got to be that luminous
it might
rock got to cover. Maybe ground keep growing grass and finally covered it up, probably.
Because they used to live right there where they dig a lot. Grandma said.
On the other side of the mouth of the river, there's quite a flat place there, high ground. There used to be sod houses over there when I was growing up. There were three of them still standing up. Because I went with Edward when he went duck hunting one time, and we stayed in old man Thomas's sod house. It was in the springtime dog team. But, you know, there was water all over, all right. But we went to Bingo, come back to where that sod house was. And then I think we went out a little ways away from the mouth and come back to town.
But before during that must have been that village down there where the Titic is.
Above,
way up.
And they said there used to be a pretty big lake right down in the low spot there. But there's no lake there now. There was a big lake in there one time.
They got to have water someplace long ago too. So it must have been there, drinking water. We never get what you really need, maybe.
No, we did
quite a bit.
They started living along this pit. And I guess that's when Maggot built that store over there. Charlie Cooter built a root house. And the native village was across the river. Mm-hmm. And this was graveyard, they wouldn't live on it.
Tom Berryman and them, that's where Molly met Tom Berryman in the Berryman in Deering. Mm-hmm. Even that Sibugorak meet Harry Brown here. Mm-hmm. They were in the back state across their group. One time she get in a kayak. She didn't know that kayak had a hook. She started to go sneak across again while people don't know. And she started hollering, "I'm sinking, I'm sinking." and it cried. Mabel Brown talked about it when they had elders conference long ago.
Yeah.